Well, today I need to speak from my heart, and messages for me each Sunday, it's like giving birth. I think, ladies, I don't know, but I okay. It feels like it for me. Okay, it's painful. No, it's not painful. Just the rhema word, having a now word, having a word that is in season, having a word from God's heart, and carrying that word for the house, and letting that word grow in your spirit, and understanding that there's sometimes those words are exhortive, those words are definitely build. Then there's those words that correct and reprove and even rebuke, and God requires us to deliver them all, and to deliver them all in love and in faith and courage, and not back down. And the Lord's laid some things on my heart. I'd planned to continue with our Power of Praise and Worship message series today. That was said. I was intent on doing that. And then God has stirred and has been stirring and really burdened my heart even more this week, more than ever, to the point that he just spoke to me, Brad, I want you to move on to a matter that's very dear to my heart. And so today we're going to begin a new series entitled United. And today is really just going to serve as an introduction. I just kind of want to share with you the heart of this series, and we're going to go on a journey. We're going to step into another process. We're going to step into another season of God doing some deep work in our hearts. And it's going to be good. The outcome is going to be good. I think there's going to be moments that it's going to be hard for us. His grace is sufficient. And in this series, we're going to focus on a number of issues that are before us as a nation, before us as a people, before us as a church, specifically racism, racial division or racial disunity, racial injustice. And then we're going to turn the corner and we're going to begin talking about racial reconciliation, racial healing, racial unity. Ultimately, we want to discover God's heart for oneness in His church. That's where we're headed. And so I will use all of those words at some point. And because this matter of racial disunity and God's heart for racial unity or racial reconciliation, because they are so critical, as a leader in the church, I have to speak. I can't be silent any longer. And because these topics and issues are so complex, I'm not going to say everything just right. All right? You may hear me say some things, and you may think that I could have said it better. I may say some things, and you may feel like I could have said more on the matter or less on the matter. I may say something, and it may even anger you. It may unsettle you. Through it all, my heart is this. My heart is to love you and to lead you faithfully on Christ's behalf. And if you're a child of God, and if you're a servant of Christ, you have to love me. I got to love you, and you got to love me. See how that works out? And I just want to encourage you and ask you, please, pray for me. Pray for me right now. Pray for me throughout this season. I don't know. I'm done telling you how long message series will last, because God always changes that. And so I don't know. I don't know how long this will last. But I need you to pray for me. Just pray, Lord, help him. Pray. Lord, he's learning. He's growing. Thank you, Sister Laura. And through it all and in it all, I want you to know that I love you. And I can love you in your imperfectness or imperfection. You've got to love me and mine. I don't know. If you wanted that perfect, Pastor, I'm sorry. It's not me. It's not me. I am so much still in process, man. God is still working on me. And even though I would never intentionally, nor would I on purpose? I would never want to offend you. That is not my heart. I don't purposefully offend anyone. I have offended a lot of people, but never intentionally, I don't feel. I'm probably going to say something that'll offend you. And if I do, please take the time. Don't leave the church, okay? That's cowardly. That's carnal. That's fleshly. Don't leave the church. That's unbiblical. Let's have a conversation. I'm your brother, okay? I'm your pastor. I'm your brother. We can talk. Let's talk. Not after church, though, okay? Because I will have just given birth to a baby, right? Physically, I am drained usually after messages. So I'm of no use to you. What I mean by this is you may be talking. It may look like I'm listening, but I'm not. I'm out of here. I'm toast. So anybody, any ministers in the house, can you relate? Man, it's just taxing. And so let's have a conversation beyond Sunday morning. Let's get together. Let's eat, okay? Let's eat and drink coffee and talk and share hearts. But if I offend you, maybe that's good. Maybe it's good that I offend you. Maybe it's good to spend some time wrestling with and dealing with what offends us and working through those deep places of hurt and anger and misunderstanding and fear and letting the Holy Spirit actually in those places begin to help us and bring unity and bring healing in the body of Christ. The issue of racial disunity and racism, it really awakens so many emotions, so many emotions. And it should, because this issue for centuries has caused so much pain and hurt and fear, and it has robbed so many of their God-given destiny. It has robbed our nation of her destiny. It has robbed millions of their dignity. Millions of their dignity. And I want to ask you today to have an open heart. I want to ask you to have a teachable spirit. Don't close your heart. Don't put up walls. Don't get in a defensive posture. Rather, I want you to get or position yourself to receive the Word of God with gladness. I assure you, everything that I say today is confirmed by His Word. I believe that it is the heart of God. As never before, every single one of us need to embrace God's counsel, and it is a command. It is counsel, and it is a command, and that is, in James, we need to be quick to listen. Quick to listen. You know, you can't listen when you're talking. So what Jesus is saying, first of all, shut up. That's what He says in the country. That's the country version of Jesus right there. So you got to be quick to listen. That means be quiet for a minute. Be quiet. Stop trying to make a point. Stop trying to choose sides. Just be quiet and listen. Listen. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. That means think about what you're going to say. Make sure that it matters. Make sure it has weight. Make sure it's the Word of God. Because anything outside of the Word, the counsel, the wisdom of God is fleeting. It's of no use. Only He has the words to life, everlasting life. And slow to become angry. Oh, my goodness. Slow to become angry. When it comes to the issue of the modern day realities of racism, there are many who do the exact opposite in the church. And I'm talking to the church. I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to the church. James 1:19, they do the exact opposite. They are what? Slow to listen. Slow to listen. As a matter of fact, sometimes they just even skip over the listening part. And they're quick to speak and take a stance and quick to become angry. And we're the people of God. We're the called out ones. We're the ones who've been purchased by the blood of Christ. Our life is no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. Amen? We're now called to possess His mind. We're now called to possess His heart. Our self is hung on a cross now. We live crucified. We're a living sacrifice. Only a foolish man or a foolish woman would speak on a matter without first listening to what people are feeling and saying on the matter. The wisdom of Proverbs 18 says this. It teaches us, he who answers or speaks on a matter before he even hears, before he even fully listens to it, what does the scripture say? It becomes folly or shame to him. Someone who is quick to speak, quicker to speak before they're quicker to listen. The Bible says you watch their life. You don't have to raise your hand, but all of us know people who are just like that, who have a stance, a position on every matter in life. And they are very quick to speak their side rather than discover, God, what's your side? What do you say about this? And the Bible says a person who acts like that, who is haste to speak, who is not quick to listen, the Bible says their life will be full of folly, their life will be full of suffering. We want to be wise today. We want to be people of wisdom, amen? There's only two choices, church. We can be wise or foolish. And the way of a fool is very hard. The life of a fool is filled with hardship. It's filled with heartache. It's filled with animosity and pain and struggle. But we want to walk as wise men and women. Amen. And when we listen, guess what? We listen with our heart. We listen with our heart. We hear with our ears, but we listen with our heart. And just because you can hear doesn't mean you know how to listen. And when we listen, guess what? We listen to a person's heart. Aren't you glad that God ponders the deep things of our heart? He even skips right past our words sometimes. Even though our words do communicate what is in our heart, the Lord ponders the deep things of our heart. Praise God for that. Because there's been seasons in my life where my words and my heart weren't on the same street. They weren't speaking the same thing, were they? We listen with our heart, and when we listen with our heart, we listen to another person's heart. We listen to what's going on in their heart, and I'm asking you to listen past my words today. Listen to my heart. I'm asking you to listen to the cry of a people within our nation right now that are hurting. They're afraid. They're weary. They're angry. It's a righteous indignation. Listen to the cry of a people that wants something to change. And it's time for the church, me and you, as members of Christ's body, salt and light, the salt of the earth. He didn't call government the salt of the earth. He didn't call the law salt of the earth. He didn't call the education system the salt of the earth. He called the church the salt of the earth. He called us a city set on a hill. He called us the light unto the world. And as members of Jesus' body, we need to hear the cry and we need to respond rightly. We need to respond correctly. Amen? Amen? Come on, do not be quiet. Those of you that are mature disciples, you need to affirm the word today. You don't need to affirm me. You need to affirm the word. You need to verbally agree with the word. And I want to say to any potential eye rollers, I love you, but when it comes to the issue of racism, you may feel that racism is a thing of the past, that somehow it was abolished 150 years ago, or maybe 50 years ago with the change of the laws of the land. And I say this, that you would only draw that conclusion because you live unaffected by racism. And racism and the spirit that fuels it is still very much alive in our day. You know why? Because the church has never done anything about it. There are brothers and sisters here today that have been greatly affected by the evils of racism. And they have experiences. They have real stories. They have real instances in their life. They have present fears even. You may feel that it's time to move on and focus on other matters. You may feel bothered by someone even claiming that they've experienced racism in 2017. You may deep down inside want to tell others, hey, just get over it and move on. But it's easy. It's easy for people. It's easy for me to tell someone to get over it if I've never been under it. You may feel that because you've not been an active perpetrator in racism or for racism, that you have no spiritual or moral responsibility or obligation to even address the issue of racism. You may think, well, I'm not racist. Why should I even be dealing with it? I've not been a racist. I've not perpetrated racism. I've not fueled racism. And this is it. Just because you've not fueled the fires of racism doesn't mean you've labored to end it. And see, the role of the church isn't to just keep peace. It's to make peace. It's to make peace. The role of the church and the role of God's people, by the way, not paid staff, the church, right? This is a we and not a me, all right? This is us. This is our job. This is our calling. This is our privilege to rightfully act on behalf. We are his body. He is the head and we are his body. And just because you have not fueled the fires of racism doesn't mean you are free, because we are called to labor and work to end it. End it. As a child of God and a servant of Jesus, you've been given, every single one of you, you've been given. I don't know if they told you this at the moment of salvation. I don't know if they expressed this to you through your discipleship, but you're in the ministry now, church. You're in the ministry now. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, first reconciling man back to God. Scripture says that we've been given both the ministry and the word, or can we say even the words that bring reconciliation. And that not only includes reconciling man back to God, but it also means reconciling relationships that are broken. Broken because of the effects and power of sin and evil. And we are called to reconcile men because so that God is revealed through that work of reconciliation. As a child of God and a servant of Christ, you're commanded to, as I said earlier, be a peacemaker. That means you are called to initiate peace. Where you see dissension and division and discord, you are called to step in with the heart of God and the authority of heaven and establish, initiate, facilitate, awaken peace and reconciliation in that instance. That's who we're called to be. That's not characteristic of the people of God, I'll tell you that much. Sometimes the people of God are the most divided and divisive and full of dissension and guile and jealousy and envy. And it's a shame that leaders haven't addressed it. But we're going to be the people of God. We're going to be the people of God. Amen? We're called to recognize the dissension and the division. We're called to recognize the injustices in our land. And we are called to respond with wisdom and power, the power and the heart of God, establishing the will and the authority of God upon the earth. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray? He taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." You know why he's called us to pray it? Because we're called to live it. We should be establishing the will of heaven on earth. I don't know what your Christianity looks like. The scripture tells you what it should look like. Responding to the issues of racial division and racial injustice and racism. I want to say this, it is not a political matter. And don't you even put me in that group. It's not a political matter, it's a biblical matter. It's a spiritual matter. We have a kingdom mandate. We have a kingdom mandate to respond. Racism isn't a sin problem, or excuse me, skin problem. It's a sin problem. Racism is a matter of the heart. Racism is just another mask of pride and hatred fueled by Satan himself. And the issues surrounding race, they are not going away in America. It isn't just going to end. It isn't going to end with a different president or a different this or a different that. You can't protest it away. You can't ignore it away. Time isn't going to make it go away. The racial tension and the need for racial reconciliation is the most complex and the most critical issue facing our nation, thus the church, in this hour. The racial problem in America is the asterisk on an otherwise respectable reputation. Whether manifesting itself overtly in conflicts between differing racial and cultural groups or simply lurking beneath the surface as a suspicion camouflaging the true depth of the problem, it continues to be the one dominant area of our failure as a nation. In spite of our successes in science and education and medicine and technology, the ability to become truly one nation under God continues to elude us. The racial division we see in society can only begin to be correctly addressed and healed when the church becomes racially united as one people and one body. And God's desire is that the church would be to the world a living visual example of love and unity. It's God's heart that His church, with all of its differences, all of its different skin colors and cultural differences and different experiences, that we would come together as one new man in Christ as one body. Ephesians 2, Paul is talking about this. He's explaining this principle. And he clearly communicates God's heart for His church to be one. And he says this, that Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles, two ethnicities, two people groups. Judaism isn't just a religion. You're Jew by birth. That's a race. He's brought them into one people. So he made peace between them and Himself. And then in doing that, He's made peace between them. He's made peace. He's brought them into one people in His own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility that could and did separate us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people. One new people. Everybody say new people. One new people, sorry. From these two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by the means of death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was what? Put to death. This is why this matter matters. Because the cross defeated, the cross crushed the power of racism. God will not stand for segregation and separation in His church. It's contrary to His heart and His will. White church, black church, Latino church, that is not God's idea. It's not God's idea. I understand we enjoy celebrating same culture and like culture. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, I like these foods. I like this kind of music. I like to dance this way. There's nothing wrong with that. That needs to be celebrated. That diversity, those cultures, don't abandon your culture, but don't find your identity in it. Celebrate it. Enjoy it, share it, bring others into it. But don't begin to find your identity in it. God hates division. He hates divisive mindsets. He hates divisive actions. He is opposed to those who cause dissension among His people. Proverbs plainly explains that. God hates division. He loves unity. God's heart is for oneness within His church. Jesus has broken down the wall of hostility that seeks to separate us. Amen. Division, separation, this is not God's will. Right. Unity or oneness is God's idea. It's His heart. And it's time for God's people. Everybody say, I'm part of God's people. I'm the church. It's time for God's people to reveal God's heart to a darkened and divided world to see. Amen? Amen. We are called first to be an example of unity and reconciliation. The world should be able to look over into the church and easily say, oh, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. That's how people overcome differences. That's how people forgive one another. Oh, okay. That's how people work towards loving one another. That's how people walk in oneness. They could easily be divided, but this is how they work towards oneness. Not peacemaker, peacekeeper. Not peacekeeper, peacemaker. Secondly, as a united people, as a reconciled people, as a people united, whole, and healed, we are then to turn, because we've been made whole, because we've been reconciled, we're called to be ministers to a broken world. It's time for God's people to respond to the brokenness in our society and be true ministers of reconciliation. It's the calling and the commission, it's the calling on the church, it's the calling on God's house and not the White House. Given the length and the volatile history of this divide, if we can ever get this right, we will have developed a template for addressing wherever else this evil shows up in our culture. Also, Dr. Tony Evans writes, and I very much agree, if you want to know where I stand on the issue, this is where I stand. It is my contention that the fundamental cause of racial problems in America lies squarely with the church's failure to come to grips with this issue from a biblical perspective. Where was the church 150 years ago? Where was the church 50 years ago? You may be thinking, what happened 150 years ago? What happened 50 years ago? Well, 50 years ago, God raised up a prophet. God raised up a man by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King. Used him mightily. I wasn't alive back then. But if I would have been, even as a deep Southerner, I didn't choose to be born in the South. I just was. And if God's call would have been on my life then as it is now, to lead God's people, sorry, I don't know where you stand on the issue, but if you stand on any other side other than God's side, you're standing on the wrong side. I would have marched with Martin Luther King, and I would have suffered with him, because it wasn't a political matter, it was a biblical matter. And the church failed to respond in its hour. The church failed to respond 50 years ago when it had the opportunity to come alongside this young man being used mightily by God. You don't have to say amen. I know what I'm saying is correct. What we have to understand as the church and as God's people, because we are the salt of the earth, do you understand what that means? Do you understand what it means to be the salt of the earth? And because we're called to be the light unto the world, which talks about influence and authority, we have a calling and a responsibility to facilitate God's will in the land in which we live. Ephesians 3:10 teaches us an amazing kingdom principle. I don't know if you've ever read this in the Bible, but it says this. Did you know this was in the Bible? Read it, Brad. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. God's purpose is to use the church. This is New Living Translation because I felt that it would best explain it. God's purpose is to use the church to display His wisdom. Display His wisdom in its rich verity or variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. God uses the church. What does that mean? It means that God does much of what He does in the world based on what His church is or is not doing. Did you hear that? I'm getting ready to. Thank you, Jessica. God does, it's underlined, that means say it again. God does much of what He does in the world. God does much of what He does in the world based on what the church is doing or not doing. Well, show me that in the Bible. Okay, I'm glad you asked. In the same way, go to the book of Ezekiel. You don't have to go there now, but in Ezekiel, wonderful, wonderful example. In the same way that God's purpose, presence, and power in the Old Testament was to flow from His people and through the temple into the world, even so today it should flow from the church into society. Church, if you're waiting for society to make things right, you're going to be waiting a long time. It's a lost society. And they're not the salt of the earth. When the church fails to act in concert or act in agreement with God's agenda, God will often postpone His own involvement until His people are ready to actually get up and do something, until His church is ready to actively respond. The Bible doesn't teach anything about a lazy Christian. There's no such thing. You can't have the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and be spiritually apathetic. You can't. Oh, I mean, people try, but you can't. You can't. The same spirit that defeated the powers of death and destruction now lives in us. And that awakens movement. That shakes the earth. When the church fails to act in concert or agreement with God's agenda, God will often postpone His own involvement until His people are ready to actively respond. What are you saying, Brad? I'm saying this. There will not be revival. There will not be an outpouring of God's Spirit like Joel spoke of in the church until there is a reconciliation of the races initiated and then facilitated by the church. Do not think that God is excited to do anything beyond this matter until we get this right. Revival is God's response to our willingness to pursue reconciliation. You are responding foolishly if you become angry with society or government or education or any other entity for not fixing racial tension and division. If you are not doing your part as a believer in your own home, with your own family, within your church to respond correctly. And there's only one right way to respond rightly and correctly. That is biblically, righteously, with a kingdom perspective, advancing the kingdom agenda. Amen. That is it. Our failure as a church and as God's people, salt and light, to respond to this issue of biblical oneness has allowed what never should have been a problem in the first place to continue for hundreds of years. Satan was angry the day that America was established or discovered, I should say. And then he began to unfold his schemes and strategy. And he's been working for hundreds of years now. If you look back, the reason and the intent of why pilgrims even came to our nation, they were fleeing oppression. And it wasn't just 100 years later that we were, not even 100 years. We were already initiating or facilitating that which we ran from. Oppression. First with Native Americans. We have a history. No, I wasn't there, but I'm here. I didn't do that, but you know what? I'm here in this land. So what am I going to do about it? The church should have been on the front lines to destroy racism in our nation. The church should have been on the front lines to destroy racism in our nation. And I want to declare this, that we as a church and a people, we will recognize the harsh realities of present-day racism, and we will get a kingdom perspective for biblical oneness in the church. Restoration House Family Worship Center, let it be known. Put it on t-shirts. I don't care what we put it on. We are going to grow to be a multi-ethnic, multi-racial church. Now, wait a minute. Before y'all clap or whatever you're going to get ready to do, that is a process. You don't just say it and put it on a screen somewhere. You don't put it on a website and just walk around and speak it, boast in it. That's a process. That takes time. That hurts. That hurts. Why does it hurt? Because God wants to bring healing. That's a process. That's a renewing of the minds. That's a learning. That's education. That's revelation. There's some hardship involved in that. We're going to be a church that understands God's heart for racial oneness and racial reconciliation. It is a mandate on this house. We're going to be His instrument and His vessel for bringing about understanding and healing to our city. We are going to grow to understand one another, and we are going to be intentional about learning from the experiences and the struggles and the hardships and the pains and the fears and the misunderstandings and the worries of one another. We're going to learn to love with a pure and compassionate heart. We're going to stand for justice and righteousness no matter the cost. And it's going to take time, and it's going to take more than a message series. It's going to take intentionality. It will take focus. There will have to be conversations. There will have to be tears. There will have to be prayer. There will have to be healing. There will have to be forgiveness. There will have to be repentance. There will be victory. Satan will be defeated. God will be glorified. Amen? Amen. We have to allow heaven to inform us. Turn off the news. We have to allow heaven to inform us and instruct us and correct us where necessary. And then we have to declare and demonstrate what God is revealing. And we as a church, we're going to have to pray through this. We're going to have to talk through this. Dialogue with one another. Ask questions. Hey, can you please explain that? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Will you tell me again? It's going to take patience. It's going to take long suffering. It's going to take, I forgive you. It's going to take, I love you. It's going to take, you know what? I'm going to suffer along with you. We're going to have to move past ideas and philosophies and even theology to discussion and actions and relational connections. You're going to have to start eating with people that don't look like you and act like you. As never before, the church must be biblically clear, socially aware, spirit-minded, love-filled, and prophetically motivated. What does that mean? That means you know how to speak God's word, God's heart. God's word is His heart. You know how to speak it now with courage and without timidity, clearly. We have to be prophetically motivated in addressing the issue of racism and racial disunity in our land. Don't roll your eyes. You don't have to fear me, but you have to fear the Lord. We need to speak the heart of God, no longer the opinions or the persuasions of man. We need to speak it with real clarity. God wants to make this house a house of healing. Not just physically, but emotionally and mentally And it very much means that he wants to heal people of wounds caused by a spirit or acts of racism and deliver others from a heart that perpetuates or fuels racism. He wants people to be healed of racial woundedness and then delivered of racial prejudice. I'm glad to be a church in the South. That's the intent, that's the vision, that's the desire of this house. That's my passion, and I hope it's your passion too. Hearing and knowing God's heart is where we start, and from there it means that we turn to those among us who are hurting and feeling rejected, those who feel marginalized. Have you ever felt marginalized? Some of you have never felt marginalized. You don't know what it's like to feel insignificant or peripheral. You don't know what it's like to feel afraid. But there are people who do, who feel overlooked, who feel profiled. And it means that we've got to take time. Even just because you haven't felt it doesn't mean somebody's not feeling it. It means we got to take time to sit down and weep with those who weep. Listen and seek to understand these experiences, the dreams that they have in their heart, the hopes and the desires of those that are not like me and you. It's going to take and require taking less taking sides and learning to take a seat with others that are different from you and realizing they have a story that is different from yours. Listening, not hearing, listening, listening, listening and learning. Just because, again, you have ears doesn't mean you have the heart to listen. You're going to have to ask God, God, give me a heart that seeks to listen. Let's stop trying to be right and start being righteous. Start using your Facebook for something more than taking a stance on issues and start speaking the heart of God. Your salt and light. God gives you a voice, you better speak His heart. I wish I had a button to blow certain people's Facebook up. Because I would. Because you dim the light of Christ. I love you. But you make the love of God look foreign and unappealing. I want to close with a question today, and it's simply this. Do you know what your African American and Latino brothers and sisters are feeling right now? Do you have any idea? Have you taken the time to take a seat with your African American and Latino brothers and sisters over the last year or the last 2 years and hear what's going on in their hearts and their minds? Have you taken the time to turn off the news, set aside your own ideas and thoughts and philosophies and consider that there are legitimate and very real fears and anger and worry and real needs that are right around us? I can honestly say that I have. I have. And I'm listening. And I'm going to respond with the heart of Christ. And as a church, we're going to embrace the will of God in this hour. I'm going to do two things as we close this morning. This morning, I've asked a precious brother of mine to come, who is African American, and he's retired Army. Oh, yeah, retired. That means he's served a long time. And he's a war veteran. And this week he wrote, I don't know if he's calling it a poem, a prayer. I like both. And I've asked Alondo to come this morning. Come here, Alondo. I've asked Alondo to share that poem, that prayer with you all this morning. And after Alondo finishes, I'm going to come and we're going to close and it's going to be good. Amen. I love you, Alondo.
Thank
you. Lay it on us, brother. Ooh.
Wow. Well, first I want to thank Pastor Brad for letting me come up here and speak with you this morning. It's been rough, and I've been praying for God to show me something different, to show me something that I haven't seen before. And this week, I was on my knees, and I was praying to him, and he stopped me in mid-prayer, and he said, I need you to see. He said, I need you to see what I see. And I said, well, I can't see it. It's not that I don't want to see it. It's just that I can't. And he said, well, stop seeing with your eyes and see with my eyes. He said, what if Jesus saw with his eyes? We wouldn't be talking about him today. We wouldn't be declaring God's greatness because Jesus' heart would be cold. It would be callous. And he wouldn't care. And so I said, okay, well, how can I see what you see? And he said, start seeing people, love people, see people. And so on the 28th, I was in the shower of all places to be. And God said, I'm going to show you how to see people. And he showed me Colin Kaepernick on one knee. And I said, well, that doesn't do anything for me. That, and everyone has their own take and response on how that works. But for me, I wanted to see more than that because that's what America is seeing. And so the first part of what I said is I take a knee for all to see. And I was in the shower when I said that. And immediately God said, oh, you got to get out of the shower and you need to continue to write this because this is what I want you to see. And so it's his heart. I just wrote what I see and what he wanted me to see and just what I felt. So it says, I take a knee for all to see, but I'm not just taking a knee for police brutality. My first knee will hit the ground to get you to see, and maybe you will listen to my plea. Tell another brother to stop killing each other. Come pick me up. Don't take a knee beside me. I'm taking a knee because I'm tired. I'm frustrated, and I cannot breathe. Stop killing. Stop hurting. Stop feeding the monster. Can't you see? He is eating us alive, and he is hungry. He will first divide us. He will then isolate us. And then he will go in for the kill. My second knee will fall for the health of this world. It is in such a fragile state. We don't know what's going to happen next, and no one is safe. My hands will come together as a sign of surrender, and I will make one big fist instead of two to fight with. I will give all my cares to you, and I know that you will listen. I know that you will move. I know that I can't do anything alone, so I call on you. I call on you, Father, my God, my strength. Some do not believe in you. Some despise you. Some mock you. Some will never get close to you because I know if they could, they would, because they have tried everything that this world has to give and they still feel empty. I am not empty, but I am burdened. And if I feel this way, I know that it's way worse for you. Let us all who believe call out to you, not just a few. Let us stop trying to judge and condemn, and let's make move towards you. If you want to do it wrong, go alone. If you want to do it right, take a few. You never know who just might help you. There is much more that I could say, but there's so much noise that you wouldn't hear anyway. But for those of you that are listening, this is for you. Come alongside a brother today or sister today. They need a few.
Thank you, Alondo. you can stay right there. You can just stay right there. Thank you, Alondo. I wanted you to hear what's on just one of your brothers and sisters' heart today, or from one of your brothers today. I want to be obedient to what God has spoken to me today. I want to ask all of our African American brothers and sisters, and all of our Latino brothers and sisters, and any other minority, Native American, Asian, in anyone that is of minority, together here. We're going to have to push some chairs out and things like that. But I want you to come, and I want you together in the middle. And then I want all of people who look like me, all of our white and Anglo-Saxon brothers. By the way, I just want to say this. I've even heard people, and their hearts are right, and they talk about being colorblind. That's not God's heart, okay, to be colorblind. It's God's heart to celebrate color. I didn't order this, okay? I came out like this. And he wants us to celebrate that diversity. Amen? Amen? And so there's some here that I can even tell that as I name the different, and I don't like using the word races because I believe there's only one race, and that's the human race. All the different ethnicities, I can tell that some of us are being uncomfortable. Like, is it okay? It's okay. To say I'm white. Now, I don't know what kind of white I am, okay? Nobody kept up with that stuff, okay? But if you're of Anglo-Saxon descent, that means you get burnt in the sun, okay? We're going to surround our African-American, Latino, Native American, Asian brothers and sisters, and we're going to... We're going to make some declarations and some proclamations that are going to be established in the heavenly realm. And I want us to do that. Can we do that? Can we do that? Okay, so let's just make some room here real quick. All of our, come on, you know who you are. If you don't know if you're African American or Latino, just ask the person next to you. They will help you discover. So we're going to do one of these things real quick. You can kind of face me for a moment and let me declare some things to you from my heart, okay? You're so beautiful. I want to say this, that first of all, we love you. Don't talk back because I can't talk. I'm slow, guys. We love you. And you are highly valued. You're highly valued in this house. And you're greatly appreciated. So white people, come on out. You need to come a little closer. Okay? This is so I want to say this, that we need you. We need you. We need you. And we want to listen to you. We're ready to listen to you. I don't know how long it was now, and some of you may be able to tell me because I'm horrible at remembering time, but I gathered all of our African American and Latino members together back in the winter, I think it was, and we had the intent together often, and God inserted this big building on the hill into our plan. And so I know that I shared with you that we would get together again, and I've been a little distracted. But that night was rich because we just sat at a table and we just listened and just gave gave our brothers and sisters the opportunity to share their experiences. And my heart was just broken. It was just broken. I know what it is to be rejected, but I don't know what it is to suffer under a demonic spirit called racism. And so I believe in the future there will be more moments like that where you get to hear those experiences and those stories. But I just want you to know, and I want to speak for the house, that we're ready to learn. And you got to teach us. You got to teach us, okay? You got to be patient with us. You got to be long suffering. You know what that means? That means you got to suffer a long time. And you got to be patient. And you've got to take on the heart of a teacher. And then once we've learned, we've got to learn to walk it out. We've got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But I believe that if we can learn as a church, I believe God's going to use us throughout our city to do some great things. I want to pray for a couple of things in just a moment. We're going to pray for the peace of God, the healing of God that brings the peace of God. We're going to activate. We're going to awaken the healing. Maybe, I don't know if you've ever prayed for your African American brothers or Latino brothers or Native American brothers or sisters, that they would experience the healing of God. But we're going to pray that. We're going to pray that their hearts would be healed and whole, and that they would experience the peace of God. And then we're going to move on, and we're going to pray for the presence of God that brings His joy and His rest, His courage. And then we're going to pray what I'm calling the purposes of God, so that the purposes of God would unfold in this house. And I don't know what it all looks like. I've stopped trying to figure out God's plan and just trust His heart. And so we're going to do that. So we're going to pray. I want you to take the place of agreement, though. I don't want competing prayers. I know that there are times where we all begin to pray individual prayers, and the Lord hears those. He hears those individually and collectively. But right now, I don't want your prayers. It can get a bit confusing, okay? Just on a natural note. So I just need you to take the place of agreement. Touching and agreeing, right? Okay. And then I'll give you a moment to pray. So, Father, I just thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to love men and women that are not like me. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to receive, to listen, to sit down with and listen to men and women who have experienced hurt, who've experienced rejection, who've experienced racism. God, I'm praying, Lord, for me and for this house, for all of us, to have a teachable heart, a heart that is humble and willing to receive information and words that may be a bit painful to us, that may be convicting. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would give us that teachable heart. Father, I pray, God, Lord, that we would not resist Your heart to grow us in knowledge and understanding. Father, I pray, Lord, that You, God, would begin to heal broken hearts. I pray, God, that You would begin to heal the brokenness that is in this house, within our brothers and sisters. God, I'm praying, Lord, only You can heal a broken heart. Lord, only you can heal and bind up wounds. Lord, only you can bind up wounds, God. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would begin to do that in hearts right now, Father. Lord, that brings the peace of God, that brings the peace of God, that brings the rest of God, that brings the joy of the Lord, Father. Lord, I pray, God, for a unity of the Spirit. Lord, I pray for a unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Father, I pray that you, Lord, would do such a work in us, God, that others on the outside would begin to look in and see the hand of God at work. They would begin to see the Word of the Lord active in our life, God. They would begin to see the will of God at work in our hour, Father. Lord, I pray that you would use us as a house to bring encouragement to a broken city and society. Father, I pray that you would use us as a voice that brings healing and hope, God, to hearts, Father. I pray that you would use us as a ministry, a house of reconciliation, a true restoration house in this hour, in our city and our region, God. Father, we will be faithful to honor you. We will be faithful to walk humbly with our God. Father, we will be faithful, Lord, to share your heart and your heart alone. Father, I pray, Lord, for the unfolding of the purposes of God in this house, Father. I pray that you would send us, Lord, African-American leaders. Lord, send us, raise up, send and raise both, God. Lord, African-American leaders, Latino leaders, Native American leaders, Asian leaders, Father, I pray even visually, God, when men and women look into this house, they would see diversity. Lord, immediately we would become a visual witness, a visual representation of the kingdom on this earth, God. Father, I pray, Lord, activate it, awaken it, initiate it, God, and give us the grace to facilitate it. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray this, God. We pray, Lord, for a binding, a mending of hearts, God. I pray that you would bind us, Lord, with that three-strand cord of love, God, that cannot be easily broken, God. I pray, God, that you would awaken, Lord, just a willingness, God. I pray that you would, Lord, awaken an intentionality within us, God. I pray that you would unsettle us, God. Do not let us be lazy. Do not allow us to be apathetic, God. Do not allow us, Lord, to sit back and hope these things happen. But God, I pray for the grace, God. Lord, I pray, God, for your Spirit to activate us, lead us into these unknown places, these unvisited areas, God, these uncomfortable places, Father. I pray, Father, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us there, God. Lord, take us into those conversations. Lord, take us into those moments, those places, those dinner tables, those coffee moments, those meal moments, God, where we're just sharing hearts. Lord, I'm asking you to do this in our midst, Lord. Holy Spirit, if you don't do it, we can't do it. If you don't lead us, God, we can't lead ourselves, Lord. You've already seen what kind of mess we create when we're given to our own wisdom and given to our own leadership, God. We submit to your leadership, Father. We submit to your leadership today, God. Father, I just pray for diversity. I pray for diversity. I pray for a well-balanced diversity in this house, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, for establishing, Lord, for sending this church, planting this church in the most, Lord, for placing us in where you're taking us on Belmont Hill, God. A predominantly African-American neighborhood surrounded by both East Side and DA. God, thank you. What a privilege and what an honor, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You could have put anybody you wanted up on that hill, but you put us. You put us, God, and we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to speak at the Mayor's Unity Breakfast, God. Father, I pray even that day that it would be more than just a simple speech, God. I pray that it would be the Word of Heaven. Lord, it would be the Word of God, Lord. And it would awaken change in our city, God. It would awaken healing in our city, God. Lord, use us. Use this house on that day in Jesus' name. For your glory. For your glory. For your glory, God. For your glory, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the healing, God. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we even sense in our hearts right now. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to... Lord, cause us to be more compassionate. Lord, I pray that you would even weaken our tendency, even remove our tendency to take positions on matters before we've understood the heart of man and the heart of God. Make us wise, God. Make us wise. Make us compassionate. Make us loving. Make us a caring people. Make us tender-hearted, God. Make us tender-hearted. Not hard-hearted. Make us tender, God. Make us tender. Cause our love to be affectionate. Cause our love to be affectionate, Jesus. Cause our hearts to be listening hearts. Teachable hearts, not hard hearts. Make us righteous. Make us righteous. Teach us how to perceive matters in our world correctly through the lens of your word with a kingdom perspective. God, teach us. Teach us, God. Teach us. Come on, ask him. Teach me, God. Teach me. When I read the paper and see the news, God, help me to see beyond what I see. Help me to know beyond what I may comprehend. Lord, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Lord, teach me, Lord, how to speak to my coworker and my friend at work and my friend at school. God, teach me how to speak to them your heart. Lord, I pray that you would remove my personal persuasion, my personal stances on every matter, God, and reorient, rework, reestablish my heart in truth. Reestablish my heart in truth today, God. Lord, allow me to view matters and speak on matters through the context of your word, through the filter of your heart. Just like Alondo said, I want to see what you see. We want to see what you see, and we want to say what you say. And nothing less. Like Jesus, I only speak and I only do what the Father says and directs me to do, God. We want to be led by the Spirit. Oh, God, teach us not to be led by our past experiences, our past hurts. Teach us to no longer be led by our fears and our worries about what could happen, what's not happening, what hasn't happened. Father, teach us. We ask you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Now let's honor the Lord. Let's honor him. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you. I love you, church, and we've got to embrace the process. We've got to embrace the process, and if we'll embrace the process, we'll experience the prize, we'll experience the reward. It's going to take time. There's so much more I could say, but I'm not. We're going to end here, and I bless you today. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Before you leave today, you need to be intentional. You need to love somebody. You need to express that love, even if you got to get in line. And you need to express your love in your heart for somebody that's not like you today. Amen? That's what it means to be intentional. Okay? Like, are they going to feel uncomfortable? No. You bust through that discomfort and that I've never done this before. You got to get radical with this stuff. And you be intentional. Be intentional. You know what? When I see an African-American individual or a Hispanic individual, I'm intentional. I want to make sure they know this guy, this white guy right here, loves them. And so I'm going to be the first to say hello to them. That's being intentional. That's practical. I don't have scripture and verse for that yet. Give me a week and I'll have one. But you got to be intentional. As never before, you've got to communicate the heart of God, even with your glance and your smile. Put a smile on your face. If you've hurt people, if you've wounded people, go back and ask them to forgive you. Do it quickly. Repent quickly. If you said something you knew you shouldn't have said, if it occurred to you this meant, oh man, that Facebook post probably offended somebody. Go home and delete it. Delete it today. And then ask God to save your Facebook. Ask God to baptize your Facebook page with the Holy Spirit. And let's use our influence for the kingdom. Amen? I can break it down clearer than that, but I'm not, because I think you're really smart. I think y'all know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, you pull me to the side, and I'll just get real direct with you. I'll just make it plain as plain can be. Okay? I love you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Be dismissed.